Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We are 5 years away from entering the 21st century. Humankind stands on the edge of the interactive age. You have come a long way. But are you ready for the future?
Introducing Sega Saturn. Hit it!
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Thing One here, Tommy, and joining me on the couch, it's Thing Two.
What does that mean?
you know, that novelty shirt that people wear?
My name's Adam Knox.
From Cat in the Hat. Thing One and Thing Two.
That was like one of the Dr. Seuss books that... I don't know if it was like...
You were banned from reading.
It might have been considered too naughty or something makes kids act up. Yeah. But I was more of a walk it in my pocket kind of boy.
Whoa.
You ever heard of that one?
No.
Oh, it's good.
Nah.
There's a walk it in my pocket.
Nah.
There's a blob it in my cupboard.
This sounds like the way some British sus person would get away with something.
Yeah.
Your brain cranking.
Hey, kid, there's a walk it in my pocket.
Cranking the gears, pouring steam out to find a word that you could say that wouldn't risk having to put asterisks in a subtitle.
Creepy. Yeah.
I just feel embarrassed that I was more familiar with the merch from Cat in the Hat than I was with Cat in the Hat. Because I have seen people walk around wearing Thing One, Thing Two shirts.
Right.
But I always just thought it was like... you know, like people, I think it's like a big thing in Bali. People get those t-shirts that just say same, same, but different.
Oh,
like
sure.
Those kind of like knockoff. I always just thought it was like something like that.
My name's Ben Vanel, by the way.
Oh,
Yeah.
Was that, there was that.
That's Adam Knox.
Dr. Seuss, I already said it. There was that Dr. Seuss character, Stussy. I saw a lot of people wearing that t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I was in
there's a Stussy in my bussy.
There we go.
That's what it was like. It was a really good book. Think of any place there might be in the house.
Yeah.
Go on.
Attic.
There's a Graddock in my attic. There's a Gold Jace in my crawl space.
Okay.
That's all he did. Then he left his wife while she had cancer.
Nice.
Did you know that about him?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
All great artists
have a dark, dark history.
There's cruelty in my Seussity.
Having had cancer, I fully support anyone getting the fuck out of there.
It's a hassle.
Not fun to be around.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of not fun to be around, I was in a Dr. Seuss musical in high school.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Seussical.
Seussical the musical.
Yeah.
A Dr. Seuss musical.
Yeah, sorry.
You mean the only Dr. Seuss musical?
No, I mean annoying West Side Story.
Yeah.
We just made it awful. I want to be in a Blairick. It was terrible, terrible time for everybody.
Who were you in the? Is the Seussical? Is it like a? Is it an MCU style? Like all of his characters together in the one thing?
Kind of. The Cat in the Hat, like, is the jester narrator, the trickster.
Nice. All right. The Loki.
Yeah, someone who Jeremy Strong would spend 25 minutes thinking of synonyms for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was the general. General something or other, and I had to trade like one of the Who kids.
That would be a good name for him, General something or other.
Yeah,
that
he was just that, General. General.
Yeah, that is sort of what it'd be.
Yeah.
I went and I just showed up with a scene from Streetcar for the audition because I thought it was a general audition.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, an audition joke. We've got the couch for it.
The biz.
but the little Who from Whoville gets conscripted into the military.
Cindy Lou Who.
No, it's some other kid.
Really?
Yeah, I think he might be a Seussical original, but he is a Who from Who.
But so you've got So what, they're all popping up? You've got Horton, you've got the cat, you've got Grinch is popping up.
You might be surprised to hear this, but I don't fully remember. But I do remember the song verbatim. It's drilled into my head. Fuck. The military academy is a place where he shall be sent. We'll drill the silliness from his head. It's hard to make it. Then we'll teach him fighting and left and right until he's muscled and tan. A hot two, three, he's pathetic. A hot two, three, unathletic. A hot two, three, but yeah. I'm betting we can. There's like passwords I don't remember because that's in there.
What a turnaround. In the same sentence from you going, you might be surprised to remember. I don't remember all the details of the musical. However, I do remember every single word of this song.
Yes. I don't remember anyone else's involvement.
Yes.
Okay.
My involvement, the spotlight on me,
mm-hmm.
I can recall every moment. No, it was...
Did you have to eat green eggs and ham beforehand? Or in the musical? There must have been some.
Surely.
Have to have been. Yeah,
yeah. Surely. Who can say? Because I don't think anyone was paying attention when they were forced to come and watch their children at this school that they'd paid money for, by the way.
Yeah, this is a school musical.
Right.
Yeah, that was always funny to me, was like, yeah, the school plays where you're like then selling tickets.
Mm.
And you're just kind of having to beg for your classmates to come along and spend money.
Maybe I'd be more willing to do this if I thought my kid was learning business or economics or something, like maybe medicine.
Yeah.
But nah, he's also doing drama as a subject.
Yeah.
So
I guess I think it's more like your friends sort of being guilted into going along, because it's like when you're in school, your free time is like such a precious commodity. It's come along at night and be at school.
No, that problem solves itself by being in the choir and the school play. Your friends are already there.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Being a drama geek, what a life.
Anyway, the reason I said thing one and thing two is because Adam and I are dressed identically today, essentially.
Mm. Kind of, different colours. But crosshatch patterns, black jeans, dirty old runners.
Yep.
Tommy's got a nice jumper on. And if you've made it this far after us talking about Seussical, you're one of the real fans.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, it's a pleasure to listen to them talk about school musicals.
Honestly.
Because I know just around the corner, there's a description of what they're wearing.
Yes. Yes. Hold off on the video games. We're not here for that, honestly.
Well, you know what? This one I do like.
Okay.
This little thing that was from this week that is sort of fits in because it's from the 90s, a time when all of us would have been in school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see, Tommy? I know that Ben did.
Mm-hmm.
The leaked Sega documents from the 90s.
I actually did not see this, no.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Let me regale you.
Please.
Oh, man, I've fallen right back into my school chorus. Please, let me, I'm a bard and I shall make some merry. So there were a bunch of, it's like a 280-page PDF thing of all these, like 1996, I think,
mm-hmm.
documents from Sega of America.
Mm.
Various different things. A lot of it very dry, sort of numbers, and mm-hmm. here's the sell through of this game,
mm-hmm.
and we're making this percentage profit off of it, and whatever. But there's some little bits in there that are great, especially with like all the Microsoft stuff coming out recently, and a lot of their emails and whatever. The tone's the same.
Right.
Business people are business people throughout the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just to quickly deviate that, I think we talked about it last week. It kind of leaked the budget of Horizon Forbidden West and The Last of Us 2 from redacted documents, just because they hadn't they'd crossed them out, but you could still see through the other side.
Yeah, you just held it up to the light.
Which seems very unethical to report on, because it's like, you know, the person did try to have this information not accessible to you.
No, it's fine. Your nipple fell out. It's okay. You're in public. It's
no, it's true. When the cops investigate a crime, if the criminal's hidden the evidence, it's just rude to actually find it.
No, I hid the knife under the carpet.
Anyway, the console wars never change.
These ones, this was Sega when they were on the back foot. Not the full back foot yet, but pretty back.
They're teetering.
Yeah, they're like sort of midway down the millipede where they are talking in these, like, I suppose emails. They must have had those by then,
mm-hmm.
but their communications.
Could and be faxes.
It's people going like, there's this one that's really good from,
Sonic.
I forget it. he's like, I just pissed on Mario. Sick. They're talking about like,
Well, yeah, what they don't get in America is that the PlayStation is bullshit in Japan. I was in 10 different shops in Tokyo recently, mm-hmm. and the kids are going crazy over Sega Saturn. There are boxes flying off the shelves of the PlayStation's in a dog shit corner. We're kicking their ass over there, and it's going to come over here. But then the others are like, why didn't the baseball game come out while the baseball was on?
Yeah.
And it's
so wait, this is Sega Japan communicating with Sega America?
It's Sega America stuff, and then sometimes they're like, one of the guys in Japan told me to tell you this.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
So it's all, I think,
I do love
America
that
stuff.
Era of, yeah, of games companies in different, that you know, their base is in one country and they're having to like fly over and have these meetings and things are coming out at different times and being changed, whereas now it's like, things will be translated, but they come out at the same time.
Right.
You have to imagine, like, Nintendo Australia just gets, like, an email the day before a direct's happening, being like, hey, this
yeah.
is happening.
Here's the rundown, yeah. Confidential.
There's a really good one of, like, an ad for, I think it was just the Sega Saturn in general, because mm-hmm. they mention a few different games in the footage of it, and the notes on the ad are like, why did you put all these Hare Krishnas in the ad?
Yeah,
we want to have kids in here because that's who we're marketing to, and just them having to interact with the wacky ads of the 90s.
Oh yeah,
it's like them in an airport like playing it and going like, hey, damn, maybe technology is pretty cool. And
yeah,
it seems like a good ad to me. Like PlayStation was doing all those weird ads
totally
back.
I would
love to know more.
The tattoo of the PlayStation, like they're all weirdly...
The PS2 stuff, do you remember that? The third place stuff where it was just like a fucking duck walking and then they'd be like, PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, okay, let's buy only that one.
Crash Bandicoot like running around in his costume.
Yeah,
like,
flipping off
balls
everyone
and shit.
The fucking bird.
Yeah.
I'd love to know more about that era. Like there was a Smash Brothers ad that was like... Mm. All the characters in like the big mascot costumes just like punching the shit out of each other in a park. Like,
that's good. That's a good concept.
It's not, but like, imagine Nintendo of Japan sort of seeing that because that is like such a Western approach to advertising at the time and being like, what the hell is this? Like, I'd love to know more about that era and how those different branches sort of interacted with each other.
You think Japan is going to find that an odd and ribald take on advertising?
Well, yeah.
Have you seen any of the Japanese
no,
stuff?
No, true. Maybe that's a bad example. But like, they had that, they had like a Game Boy SP, like Advance SP ad that was like Mario with a tribal tat and stuff like that. Which, just little things like that where the American gets to sort of do what they want.
Right.
And then it surely going up the
cultural
flagpole.
Trends.
Like, like, well, hey, we got to sell this over here.
Well, Sega of America was very separate to the Japan one during the time, which was part of why they like fell apart so much.
I think they kind of took the lead, right? I think they, when they were making Sonic 2, they did the bulk of it.
My understanding of it is that, especially in like marketing and business terms, they were very like arrogant and like, oh, we know what we're doing and fuck you guys, we know this, and then fucked it from that arrogance. But
and then there's also that that story that may just be urban legend about Yuji Naka touring the Sega America offices and just ripping on everyone in Japanese to his mate that he's there with, and all the people in the office going, obviously we speak Japanese.
Let's ask him if that rumor's true. Hey, Yuji! Yuji, you got a visitor!
Yeah.
That's my attempt at prison noises. But there's a lot of it in there is like, we got to fuck PlayStation.
Yeah.
We've got to drop the price right before they do. We got to tell everyone we're more technologically advanced. But they're like, continue the perception of technological superiority. Like they know that it's not. And a lot of like direct competition, like we got to nail down exclusives, we got to make sure the third parties are publishing for us.
I guess they knew what they should have been doing. They just failed to execute on it.
Yeah, and I think that it was the similar thing to like Sony with the PS3, where they had like, in the West at least, done really well in the previous generation. And so we're like, we're too big to fail.
Yeah.
And then kaboom. But
and there's sort of no roadmap too, because it's still like it's still so new at that point.
Yeah, sure. And it's the same as sneakers and whatever though, where if you're Nike, you're like, we'll put out the new Nikes before the Adidas come out or whatever. So it's all that bit. But the thing that here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
It was leaked by some like website or Twitter account or something called Sega Retro.
It's run by George W. Bush.
Oh, shit.
That's my conspiracy.
You've gone deeper down the hole than I have. It's
good timing to have this stuff be there to maybe make the Microsoft stuff seem a little more
palatable.
Yeah, and yeah, like, right. Well, this is kind of how everyone's always done it.
Right.
This is how the industry works. They were talking more about exclusives. Microsoft saying, hey, we want to put our games anywhere.
Yeah,
be a shame if something happened to this Nintendo Switch.
Right.
So, like,
I mean, we want to put our games everywhere, except for the Bethesda ones.
Those are only here, but we'd love to put them everywhere, but they won't let us. Because, yeah, so it I don't know. It's an interesting look back at now, you know, at least as a hardware manufacturer, defunct company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, and it's old enough that it's not like this fucks anybody's pie.
Yeah.
Right.
But
Jason Biggs style.
Uh-huh. But it is like, it's really interesting still.
I think I can watch the video to see me and Ben make eye contact just before we said that, by the way.
I don't think that's a crazy conspiracy. You know, like, you read up on any sort of this corporate espionage stuff or just general business, this stuff happens all the time.
Stuff
this
doesn't leak by accident.
Massaging the perception.
Unless you've got a too bright of a photocopier and then it can leak by accident.
Yeah. Or if you're getting on in age...
Sure, yeah, that can happen, but they've got solutions for that.
That's right.
It's
that would have been a great segue into an ad if we just happened to have
adult
diaper company sponsoring us.
Hey, if you're out there, incontinence pads, get in touch.
Yeah.
Some people listen to our podcast driving across country, and if you can't afford to be late, maybe you can afford some products from the good people at Bigham's. They're for big people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having
to get a plus size adult diaper.
I reckon they're well in stock in some parts of the world.
Yeah. I don't know. Some parts, I live in a part of the world.
That's not what I was saying.
Well, I do. I'm just saying it. Okay. Sorry, an accidental leak. The whole thing is really cool, and I had to skim through those documents on the train. And it's also cool seeing, like, it's all, you know, printed out stuff, but then there's handwritten notes on some of them.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones where it's like, okay, coming up to this time, we've got to spruik this game and this game and this game. Mm-hmm. And there's one person who's clearly gone through and written, and Virtua Fighter 2! Why are you talking about Virtua Fighter 2 and Panzer Dragoon's Vi?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, you named that one poorly, but also, yeah, it's I love seeing just stuff like that of like thinking back to if you'd have gotten that in one of the magazines in the 90s.
Oh, sure.
What a bombshell it would have been.
Yeah. Baby Jason Schreck.
Yeah.
Doing his first like essay.
Spelling mistakes everywhere. Yeah. All the E's are backwards. I don't know how old he is, but probably not that old.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I wonder if this will become more like, the result of this this ongoing case will be that just more transparency with this kind of stuff.
It's kind of just the way of the world now as well. Like, you just almost have to be, because it's so likely that stuff's going to come out of this nature. Like, even Nintendo there was a Spanish developer that went unnamed, but it would, like, some leak on Twitter was like, hey, in Spain, they've got a Switch 2 dev kit.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. And people...
El Switch Dos.
And people...
believe.
Honestly, that would be a pretty fucking good name.
That'd be a great name. Yeah.
I forget who it was, but it's someone who... Who has
Mario
worked with? Pissed on Sonic. I got it back. That was what leaked. I forget what they worked on, but it was something for a Nintendo game. People pretty quickly were like, "It's got to be these guys."
Right. Let me try and find. There was like a great thing that I read that was an apparent leak about some new Switch hardware, and it's so obviously made up, because just the way that it's written is very funny.
I miss that shit. I miss seeing all the photoshopped pictures of the Xbox 720.
Like
50 buttons on the controller and it just looks like an iPhone.
Which PlayStation was the one that was a sphere or whatever it was?
All of them were all things at that, but it would have been, I guess, the two or probably the three, because internet was popular.
True.
It had already become, it was a sensation by then.
That's right. The PS2 had the Ethernet cable, but yeah, I feel like the 3 was like a blue orb with like discs coming out of it.
Are a ton like that. Like the 360, there's a ton. They're so bad looking.
Yeah.
And they look nothing. But it makes sense where like that original Xbox prototype that was just the big metal X. They've made some stupid shit. Those PS3 controllers that were originally going to be boomerang shape.
I couldn't find the article, but it was basically the way it's written is so funny. It's like a guy who...
We did so much padding for nothing. There was nothing in the box.
10 minutes on like, who was in Dr. Seuss books again? They're like, yeah, I couldn't find the article about the video game thing. But.
I wanted to quote it verbatim, but I do I remember it. So it's like a guy who he's apparently, and this is a guy with no previous like leaking history or anything. So it's one of these accounts that comes out
dry
of nowhere.
Pants.
So already you're taking this with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I work at the airport, and this guy came through, and he had a big like padlocked metal suitcase, and he had to open it up for security screening, and it was it looked like a console, but it was very very rustic and very kind of like beaten up, and it had some little mouse wheels on the side of it under the triggers, and it was clearly just like a development prototype unit. And I sort of wasn't meant to see it, and the man was very secretive and weird about it. Yeah. But then he dropped his wallet, and a business card came out, and it said Nintendo Head of Development.
Yeah. Oh,
then everyone clapped because I picked it up, and I said, "Did you drop this?" This guy just telling a story about how he let a bomb go on a plane.
It's like, this is absolute fact. Like, yeah, I loved reading it because it was like, you haven't looked over this, you haven't cast a critical eye over this and like shown it to someone else and been like, give me some feedback. Would you buy that this was like the citing the business card at the end is just...
I looked over his shoulder on the plane and he was playing Tomb Raider, but Lara Croft was nude. I think there is a code out there. Luigi was playable in Mario 64.
I also love to imagine like a guy from Nintendo Japan bringing the prototype over. He's just on like a commercial flight.
Just
having to go. It's like there's no way that's not like a private jet situation or probably more likely people from the American branch heading over there for a meet. Right. Like they're not taking this thing on the road.
Oh, if you're taking it with you, we'll put it in the biggest, most difficult suitcase we can find.
Okay
with you?
As carry-on as well.
Fucking hell. They'd be out there by now, surely, those Switch 2 dev kits. So I kind of just...
I
buy it.
Yep.
Yeah, surely. It's all swirling. It seems like we're getting close to some kind
full
of announcement.
Full toilet style. Swirling, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be swirling sooner than we expected.
August to. Something, right?
August the 3rd.
Yeah, fuck
and it
yeah.
was going to be the 31st on the PC. Mm-hmm. And then it's still on the 6th of September, and this is why they moved it, because that's the same day as Starfield. On the PS5 that is out there. And they were like, that's probably fine because the Starfield's not out on the PS5. Woof. Mm-hmm. I hope the skips and the courts are a little longer. But Baldur's Gate 3 has been in like early access for 2 years or something now.
Right.
Just like the first act is sort of playable in there and has been developed. But 3rd of August that now comes out on PC. And I was thinking, because I know this happened once, the date being brought up relatively recently. And at that time we were like, has this ever happened before? I don't know. And it must have, because now I can't remember what the one that it's definitely happened before with was.
I have a feeling that Xenoblade Chronicles 3, they moved up.
I think you've nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with digital stuff, like you can do it relatively easily now. So that's very cool.
You buy the get the pre-order and you get it 5 days early. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm looking forward to having a go on that and having...
Apparently it's fucking huge.
Like 100 hours sort of thing. Yeah. But August is pretty empty until the end of it. So they've done it.
They've done it. They've nailed it.
I'm going to be traveling to a mystical city
by
the name of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
To play on my computer.
Well, we traveled to a mystical suburb called Richmond the other day.
Yes, we did.
We got invited to a launch event for Everybody 1-2 Switch by our friends in at Nintendo.
Yep.
We went to a little function center.
Yes.
With a wallpapered fake library, which fooled all of us.
Yeah. No, it did not fool me.
Well, it fooled.
You both walked in and went, I might pick up a book. What? And I went, yeah, I've been to a shitty bar in Richmond before. I've seen the wallpaper.
Who would go on a podcast and lie?
Exactly.
I genuinely did get fooled by it. And then, you know, looking at it a bit closer and putting on my like big, thick glasses that I use to drive with my chin on the steering
Your
wheel.
Your nutty Professor Jerry Lewis glasses.
It was simply wallpaper. Big TVs around, a bunch of booths.
I'll tell you what wasn't fake.
What?
was the fact that they were refusing to serve alcohol
at
an open bar with beer on tap and spirits lining the wall.
With the only people I saw even bat an eyelid at that being in this room.
Yeah. Like we go in and there was like a list of like drinks that were like kind of, you know, provided.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, can I get a beer? And the guy was like, oh, no, we're just supplying the ones that are on here.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, well, that's I'm happy. Can I pay for a pint? And the guy was like, no.
No, no, we're not like, serving
big
beer.
Big prominent taps just like staring at us.
We'd just come from a bar like four doors down, which was lovely. They were very nice to us there. We were there like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yep.
Gave us some chippies. We could have stayed there for another pint because the whole thing didn't kick off for another like 20 minutes. So I was like... Oh, I was just in... It was beer o'clock.
I was...
You guys were Friday thirsty.
Yeah.
I
was at the end of 2.5 weeks of feeling... Of being really crook. And that was like my first day that I sort of felt better. So, God, I was just fanging for a cold one. Well, you know, I was like, I'm back. I want to get leathered up and... Play everybody 1-2 switch.
It would have been fun to play with a couple of beers under the belt, but no, it was mocktails and juice only.
Mm.
I feel like it may not have been fun still, too, because we played some of the games from it, and like the only time I played 1-2 switch was at a similar switch launch event. And that was like interesting because it was the first time touching the Joy-Cons, and I was like, wow, it feels like there's marbles in there.
Mm-hmm. There were beers there.
But well,
and a helicopter out the front. Remember?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The races were on.
Yes.
And we played some of the games here. The big difference with everybody 1-2 switch.
It was a big party as well. There was like what 40 people, 30 people, sort of mixing around
at this thing on Friday.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the part of the point of that, I guess, being that the new thing here compared to 1-2 switch is that there's big group games that you can play in this, that you can use your phone to...
with up to 100 people.
Up to 100. I don't know if they were expecting that many, but maybe they didn't get them.
Mm. It would have been packed if there was 100 people there.
Yeah, I would have been able to get to the bookcase.
It would have been nice to have a look at... It was interesting to see with maybe 20-ish people on each team, a bit less.
Mm-hmm.
And the games weren't good.
Some of them are, yeah. It is cool having that in there. Like it's Nintendo don't generally tend to do get you to use anything sort of outside of their ecosystem, but
and
it's very
it
like Jackbox
really,
Party Pack and
yeah,
like
yeah.
worked really smoothly.
It did.
Scan a QR code on the screen,
yep.
and then it'll divide you into teams and be like, stand on the left side or the right side of the TV in this team, and like all of that was smartly done. Mm.
You can take a little profile pic. Through the app, through the like thing that you're in, or you can like load up a picture from your photo library. Then when you're in like the waiting room on the screen, you can like send little messages that pop up for everyone.
Yeah.
Ben kept sending, I really want a beer. That was like scrolling up on the screen constantly. all that kind of side of it is cool. The first one that they got us all to play in a big group was this UFO game where you're in teams and you're each trying to entice a UFO to land on your side of the screen by sort of raising your arms up and down in the air sort of in
to the beat
with this beat, but
it wasn't on the beat, and like everyone was copying the picture of the alien which was different to the ha ho ha ho that was going in the thing, so it was really confusing.
Yeah,
you did it, and it goes for like 3 minutes or something.
Yeah,
arms really sore by the end.
You gotta
of it.
You got to be kind of like squeezing your phone to have your thumbs like on the sort of activation panels.
Oh,
the
right,
screen.
Right.
I was really going for it. Got to the end.
I didn't
and
play this.
I come
one,
up right down the bottom, 0% success rate.
I was
like, and that's fine to completely fail at a game, but you got to know. I was just like, but why?
I have no idea
what I did wrong.
Marching to the beat of my own drum. But it felt like it was not working.
Yeah.
In a really like there's because there's so many of you doing it too, it can't give you feedback on the screen individually.
Right.
I felt like the alien.
You couldn't figure out like this is so stupid, but the sound the alien makes two sounds. Hap ho.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those would you think was up and which would you think was down?
I think hap was up.
Yep.
And ha was down.
Yeah.
Because one's higher and one's lower.
Wrong. They're from a different planet where gravity's backwards.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Music's the opposite.
They're the upside down man.
That was throwing me the fuck off, to be honest. So we did that one.
Also, there was... I'm sure if people were like checking our Instagram stories, I put up footage of it.
Yep.
And like Nox is offbeat for everyone else. Tommy is fully synchronized with everyone, yet Tommy gets zero. It was like baffling.
And I was offbeat because I was so confused why everyone was doing it in that timing. I think just because as a group, everyone had just fallen into a rhythm together.
I think so, yeah.
But it was very different from...
And you like fell somewhere in the middle as well. And
exactly.
Like, why?
And then like, because the feedback from the screen doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
So it was sort of weird. Then you get this other one.
I tried to take the Nintendo representative aside and tell them that I play drums. So actually, if anything, I would have been perfect. I would have been the only one perfectly in time. So therefore, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying your switch might be broken.
Yeah,
you might need to like recalibrate the unit. Again, it's not a big deal. It's not a big issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset. I'm just for you, like you should know.
Well, that's what they're there for too. Because I took one aside to be like, hey, sorry, do you mind if I just read one of these books for a little bit? Is that okay? They are real books over there.
Yeah, I took one of them aside and was like, just tell me where the beers are, okay? I know there's beers here, just tell me where they are.
Like, now, I'm going to do this either way, but just to ask you a favour, can you turn a blind eye while I just suck straight out of the tap for about 5 to 10 minutes?
Hey, sorry, just one more question. What's Mario really like? Is he like nice, or I bet he'd be a bit up himself.
Have you guys seen these leaked Sega documents? What do you think?
Sorry, where is this?
Do you think that Osama bin Laden really did 9/11, or was it maybe George Bush?
Hey, sorry, can I just tell you, what does it mean if someone starts talking about George Bush heaps, but way after the fact? Is that like a bad sign? Should I look up like their search history, check for any letter Q anywhere?
No.
By the way, this is nothing to do with Nintendo themselves, but I don't think you guys saw this. I don't think I've told you this yet.
Cool,
while you were playing one of the games, I was standing there and some food started coming around.
Yes.
And some mac and cheese croquettes came out. Nice. I love a mac and cheese croquette.
Yep.
And I think there were like maybe two players. Anyway, I saw these two guys had gotten some and had some, and then they got a staff member over and like said something and like handed them back. And I was like, God, complaining about a mac and cheese croquette at a fucking event. Mm. What's the issue? And then I took a bite into mine, frozen in the center.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had the same thing, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
It's like, God, get a load of these little babies. What's their problem?
Just a small correction as well. They're not called croquettes. They're called alligators. Anyway, the second game we played as a group, there were some ones where you do them with smaller numbers using the controllers.
Yes,
but the other group phone was like a quiz one.
Oh, yeah.
That I didn't like either, because it asked you three questions and they were all like extremely simple, because what it's trying to do is make the point of it your reaction time to answer.
Totally.
But
it was
didn't like that.
What color is a banana? And then you wait for the option to show up and it's like yellow, red. And it was basically the fastest.
Red. Real books. But
it was not. And like
it could just come up on the screen. Push the buzzer now.
Exactly. And when you're hearing, oh, a quiz, cool. And it would have been fun if it's like old Nintendo trivia or some general ones as well. Maybe there's more in there. I haven't played every variant of each of these games.
I think one that was like visual based, and it would come up with I don't know, it'd come up with like an apple and an orange. The picture would be there for like a few seconds, and then you would be waiting for the question to come up. So you're not immediately knowing, you know, it's not just straight up like, what's the answer to this?
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine in that one each time.
How do the two compare?
I imagine each time you're playing it, maybe like the pictures might be the same, but the question that it's asking you about them is always changing. So you can't just like straight up be like, oh, well, I know this is just going to be which one is a dog. It's not like, it'll be like, which one of these has, you know.
I know, but they felt like doing a capture
thing.
Yeah.
To, you know, like it.
And each game, it seemed like, because they had all the games unlocked. Apparently, you have to play through them.
Yeah.
If you actually buy the game and start fresh, you have to play through each game to unlock the, like, modes. So I think, like,
there were about 17, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do you play like a 20-minute where it cycles through them at random, and then once you've done them in that, then you can just sort of sit and access them whenever you want.
And I think each one had like a slightly more complex variant. So it was like the quiz, we played like baby version of the quiz, but then the next one I think was maybe a bit harder or wasn't.
They were like, it's set up to like quiz four, and like I say, I haven't seen how they get, but I don't know, that it just even as sort of a Because if you're going to do it with a big group, you're imagining it's like, oh, a big family reunion, some kind of get-together. There's a bunch of big kids
Christmas
are here.
Time, whatever, yeah.
We're all going to do this thing that it, like, right move to make it accessible or whatever, but then it's also with that particular, those couple not engaging. But then I did like the third one we did, which was it'll show you a color on the screen and then you've got to use your camera on your phone to match the color as close as possible with something in the room. You can't take a photo of the screen. You've got to go find an object that is as close as you can to that color. One person had like a bag with like a pride rainbow on it and they absolutely wiped the floor with everybody because they had access to each and every color. That one was cool. And
that's a neat idea. Like and that's before. A good, like, you can imagine that being fun at someone's house. You know, you're kind of like roaming around different rooms.
That
and
was,
stuff.
I think it was smart. It was
open
smart,
it up all their drawers.
And again, like, it's a good way of using, like, some of them, it's letting you use a smartphone just in place of a Joy-Con for the motion control stuff. But this is like, it actually needs the phone. It actually like uses the phone in a really smart way.
Yeah, that was cool. There are a few others of like pumping up a balloon and as close as you can before it bursts, like holding the controller still when, what's the time, Mr. Wolf spins
game.
Around.
Squid Game, Girl Game,
It'll always be what's the time, Mr. Wolf to me. That's what it was in the Sega documents and that's where I land forever.
Squid Game's shorter to say.
What's the time, Mr. Wolf is more polite.
I heard this multiple times from Nintendo reps kind of setting people up with that game and saying, it's just Squid Game. Like, they've clearly all decided, but I'm like, that's very, you would think it would go the opposite.
Oh,
where
it's
like
Splatoon.
Someone up at head office has been like, now you are not allowed to reference, well, you are not allowed to reference the fact that this is just Squid Game.
Yes.
But yeah, that is Squid Game.
It's public domain. Squid Game took the game from, you know, tradition anyway.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the usage of the phone stuff was smart and worked really well. It was really easy and didn't like gum up on us, which was good.
Yeah.
The Joy-Con stuff is, you know, the same as a bunch of Switch games have done, that it like is variable how much it feels like that thing is responding to you, really.
Yeah, it feels like it's not doing, I don't think there's any, because when the original 1-2 Switch launched, a big thing of it was the HD Rumble, and you know, you had those games, some of them we played at that event a few years ago, that were pretty cool kind of tech demo-y things where you had to like rotate the Joy-Con around and you could feel kind of balls rolling around
in
there.
The marble thing was,
yeah, and I don't think this has anything kind of like that where it's using the sort of HD, it is more like, yeah, it's motion control stuff.
And
so
it's party game things, which they're fine. It didn't look like, and again, I haven't gone through all of them, but it didn't look like there were maybe enough there for it to be a lasting thing at all.
So yeah, I had a little session with someone where I played through the balloon one, the What's the Time, Mr. Wolf one.
Oh, the ninja one.
A Ninja Stars one where one person is like flicking the Joy-Con to shoot ninja stars and then the other person is deflecting them with a sword, and you can play with like up to however many people where you'd have one of you with a sword and then like eight of you shooting the ninja stars, so you can be surrounded and you're actually having to like work in the space that you're in physically, which could be really fun. So yeah, outside of the quiz and the UFO one, which I don't think are particularly good, all the other ones we saw or played looked fun or were fun to play, but yeah, for a full-priced game, there's just not, lots in there. Like I would maybe break this out when some people came around, but the main thing I felt when we left was I don't really see why the best ones in here weren't just folded into that WarioWare movement game that's coming out in November. Seems
the
weird
to me.
The
phone stuff is the stuff where, like, if they'd have gone more into that, like you say, using the room and like having a physical interaction in that way, that's the stuff that was the most engaging with it. Because, like, and that was the idea with the first one, right? Is it's like, it's a game that where you don't have to look at the screen much. It's sort of doing that, but I don't like the style of it either. It's got bland.
It's very generic.
Why, you're Nintendo. Just have fucking Luigi host the game or something. You
was
know?
He busy?
Why would you not use your biggest selling power?
I mean, that's been the weird issue since, even 1-2 Switch. It was like, why isn't this a WarioWare game? Why isn't this branded in some way? Why isn't this just a pack-in? Like, it should just be on the console when you get it.
And if it's people and whatever having fun, I kind of get that of like, oh, we want to show... But, like, make it look interesting still.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, but It's not the train wreck that the whispers were before it had come out, where they're like, "Oh, no, Nintendo's embarrassed."
That's true.
Of
it's that's actually true. Fine. I had a good time
it's
playing those
games.
It's
probably a good game for a young family. Right?
I bet if you've
I don't
got,
think it's a bad game.
Yeah, if you've got young kids and your kids are regularly having friends over, I can see this being a lot of fun. Like, yeah, there's so many examples from like every generation where something that came out when we were little kids we loved, and then you get a bit older and you're like looking up the Wikipedia and it's like, oh, this was panned beyond belief when it came out. And it's like, that's one of my favorite things of all time. Like, you're just so much, you know, less discerning when you're a little kid. But so, yeah, I think for... If that's the audience, yeah, if you've got young kids, it's fun. It's like pretty easy to show people how to do the games and what's in there is good. But I just think there's just not quite enough in there.
For it being so light, there are too many misses. And yeah, it like I don't think it will have staying power necessarily. But kids can also repeat stuff a weird amount of times.
Totally. Like I'm sure there's a family who's got Everybody 1-2 Switch and like Mario Kart and one other game and they love it. You know, like
Snakes and Ladders is the same every time. But yeah, it's just like,
and we should say, well, I'm going to say, we got Tommy and I.
Yeah, I didn't. So I'm clean for this one.
Tommy and I got given a copy of the game on the way out and a pair of Joy-Con.
Yep.
So clearly
pastel coloured.
We're not influenced by getting given free shit.
Yeah.
Knox left to get the train, so, and then like 1 minute later they came around with goodie bags.
Yeah. Oh, good. Now that he's gone, we can get the real books out and give you guys. I wish I'd have gotten those Joy-Cons. Those little,
they're nice.
The pastel colours are nice, but whatever.
That was good. That made the day for me because I was toying with the idea of buying a pair of them. So it was very nice.
You guys didn't get to ride on a train, so
yeah,
I guess we
got a beer afterwards.
That's true. Well, yeah, we did. We went to the corner hotel.
Your precious beer. Well, I love trains and having to pay for things.
Yeah, I thought that is your personality summed up.
Trains, money. That's what I
having mean. To leave early.
But fun event. Thanks to Nintendo for getting us down. I can see why they did this like a weird rollout of this game, like we've said, where they just sort of announced it about a month ago with no screenshots or trailer or anything like that. I think they've not really known how to push this to people because I don't know. And then it wasn't in that direct, but I think this is just going to sit on the shelves and really only be picked up by young families whose kids absolutely loved 1-2 Switch.
And if you guys want to make up for my mistake of leaving without the free Joy-Cons, here's my full address. 1000 Cool Guy Road.
Wow.
It's a
long ass road.
Yeah.
A lot of cool guys.
I guess that's true.
The
that
sunglasses
is true.
Shop does very well. Shame there's not more in there with some cool ideas that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really trimmed down what's in that package. And speaking of which, If you yearn for the days of HD Rumble, trim it down a
feeling
package,
those balls roll around,
you're delicately H or S, but it will rumble once you run along it. The products from Manscaped,
yes,
they
traditionally body hair trimming and grooming.
They're keeping with tradition as the beard is a part of the body.
It's above the neck.
So I've been using their Lawnmower 4.0, which is a personal grooming body thing, as a face chopper.
Yeah, it's a dick and ball shaver traditionally.
But if your face looks like a dick and balls, the world is your oyster.
Yep.
Sure.
But for the people who aren't so fortunate as to have a face that clearly resembles male genitalia, I haven't used it yet.
Okay.
But we've all gotten their new beard trimmer. I think it's
new
just product. Called the beard trimmer.
It's called the beard hedger, I believe.
Okay.
I barely know her.
It is another really high quality thing from Manscaped.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped. Yeah.
I do love it. I imagine we can't be the only ones that talk about how the Lawnmower 4.0 also works great on a beard. And
I think it does
feel like their hand has been forced into going like, oh, God, all right, guys, it's for your pubes, okay?
They keep saying that it works great but smells weird. It doesn't smell weird. It's just picked up a smell.
What if it's just literally the exact same thing but in a different box?
Well,
it's bigger.
It's bigger. It's got a rotating
length
clip
guard
adjustment thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can move up to, I think, 10 millimeters down to 0.5 or whatever.
Yeah.
I've just gotten my hair cut, so, and I got my beard done, and I'm not paying beard chopping prices these days to fuck it up myself.
Mm-hmm. Lots of but comments on your haircut last week.
Oh yeah,
you do one nice thing for yourself, people notice.
Yeah,
a lot of comments saying, years. "Hey, well, okay." One, a lot of comments saying, "Hey, Adam looks great with his new haircut."
Mm-hmm.
One comment saying, "Hey, Ben and Tommy, why don't you take a leaf out of Adam's book and
yeah.
get a haircut?"
You've got the right idea.
Yeah.
And you might benefit from the cool attitude that Manscaped gives you from having this thing run across your face. It's a good little pack. It comes with like some high quality scissors and like
beard conditioner. Oh, the scissors were a fucking sweet bonus. I love a nice pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Hair specific. Yeah.
With the place to rest your three fingers.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing a lot of work.
Chop that fourth one off with the scissors.
Oh, yeah.
You've got every finger resting on those scissors.
Yeah, because you don't want to be friends with someone anymore. And they won't take the hint. Manscaped's got you covered.
Anyway,
yeah.
You can have a look at that. It's like a good little set and works there's well also, as a gift and that sort of thing.
There's like beard oil, beard shampoo. Like there's all
stuff that I'm going to have to Google and know what it is. But it comes with like a little instruction book. But anyway,
it does.
If you want to have a look at it, manscaped.com is the place to go. Mm-hmm. And if you're checking out, use the code FILTHY and we'll give you 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah.
On
that's,
the house.
That's us. That's a deal we organise with Manscaped.
We pay for it all the... No, they pay us, but...
Yeah, they do.
They pass your savings on to us and that we have to pick up the bill.
Yeah.
Use the code FILTHY, manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping. High quality shit yet again.
That's right. Thanks for sponsoring the show, Manscaped. Now back to aforementioned show.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it four times. Mm-hmm. We're repeating ourselves on this thing.
Mm.
The olden days, back when Sega was falling out of the console wars.
Yep. Yeah.
Where's he going?
You might remember a little game coming out around then called Pikmin 1.
Oh.
At the time, people called it Pikmin.
I don't remember that.
Well, let me tell you. You don't have to.
Oh, thanks.
Because you can relive it today.
What?
On the Nintendo Switch.
I don't think I will.
It's too expensive. You shouldn't. But
I genuinely did not know what Pikmin was until maybe Tommy played Pikmin 3.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
He's a real Pikmin boy. You know.
I wasn't until I'd played Pikmin 3.
Yeah, right.
And that was, like the re-release on the Switch that, again, is also too expensive.
Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a relative, it was like one of Nintendo's newer things at the time. It was Miyamoto doing a new thing for the first time since like Star Fox or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of buzz around it at the time. It's a weird game. The version on the Switch is the one I'm playing. It's one of the ones that got dropped during the direct a couple weeks ago. It's just the GameCube version. It hasn't had the sort of Metroid Prime remastered stuff done to it.
Mm-hmm. I think
it is widescreen now and that sort of thing. Like they've
I think it's the Wii version because they bumped them up a little bit and re-released them both on the Wii with motion controls. And I think from what I've read, they have tweaked the controls in both of them a bit to make them more in line with the controls in 3.
Well, they fucking suck. So I hope that's not the case as I go forward. Because I am enjoying it. It just like, it's a 20-year-old game. Mm-hmm. And so there's just bits and pieces of it that are awkward. Because the idea is if you're like Ben and Tommy recently and don't know about Pikmin, you're a tiny little alien who's crashed on a planet. And, well, you're normal size to yourself, but the planet has big stuff. And you find these little grubby guys that you pluck out of the ground. They're called Pikmin, and you can have a team of them follow you around to do little tasks in the world. So it's kind of like a strategy game where you've got red, blue, and yellow Pikmin that each have sort of different abilities. The red are sort of your meat and potatoes Pikmin. You can chuck them at monsters to get them to fight them. Mm-hmm. You can walk them around like normal. You've got the yellow Pikmin who can pick up little bombs and they can get thrown higher. And then you've got the blue Pikmin who can go in water.
Okay.
And you've got 30 days on this planet to go and collect all of your exploded spaceship parts. And it's on a real time limit. Mm-hmm. You've got, it's maybe 10 minutes a day or something. You get the daytime that will real time clock go through. And then you've got to go back to your ship at night. Mm-hmm. Any Pikmin you've left out in the world get eaten up at nighttime. The rest of you fly up to safety.
And so your treasure that you're looking for, it might say, this needs 10 Pikmin. This is this heavy. It needs 10 Pikmin to carry it back to the ship.
Okay.
So you assign 10 of them to do that. That'll take them a little while. When you kill an enemy, you can then take its body back to the ship and it goes up and sort of turns into seeds of new Pikmin. Because you lose them by... If the if one of the red ones goes in the water, it dies. Yep, they can get eaten by other things. So you're kind of you're having to like assign them little tasks, but then also keep an eye on your sort of crew management of like maybe some of them have been taken out. So you've got to make sure you've always got like enough on hand,
right? Because you don't want to go too far away necessarily from like if you set up 30 guys to. There are these sort of rolled up bridges that they can knock at and start unrolling. Mm-hmm. If you leave them, there are some enemies in some levels who can come up to them while they're over there. And if you're not there, they're fucked.
Right.
So you've got to, it's about time management and about people management. Mm-hmm. And I'm so stressed out by it because I do not want to be in this managerial role.
Yeah, they put you in charge of the company. You're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, my paycheck ain't enough for this, brother.
So I think I mentioned last week I've been playing a bit of 2, and 2 came out, I think, not all that long after. It's a GameCube
couple
as well.
Years, yeah.
So
yeah,
right. Pretty quickly after 1, and they got rid of the time limit. Like you still have to like go back to your ship at the end of the day, but you don't have the 30-day time limit to get all this stuff done.
Okay,
so it's a little more forgiving and a smart change, and I feel like they've gotten like a little more lenient with each one. It controls better than I expected given how old it is, but still not perfectly.
It's just stuff like, because your Pikmin will run around behind you and you can like kind of hold down a button and move the stick to like get them to march in a certain direction behind you to kind of group them away from dangers or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But they will often, if you've got like a bigger group, they'll just fall off of the edge of
stuck,
a thing you're walking down, or like stray off, or like get distracted by something. So it can be, but it is part of the game of like, yeah, you got all these little guys you've got to manage.
Right, yeah.
And you can like get little, you can break open little seeds that have sap in them that they eat, and then they get a little faster.
Okay.
So you
the
can
more
sort
their
of,
flowers bloom on the top of their head, the quicker they are. And they
so you can sort of level them up so they follow you a bit quicker, and you're not having to sort of like constantly go back and like check on them.
Right.
And even that, like the AI and how they follow you, I think has gotten, as you'd expect, like better and better with each iteration. Because I was playing 2 for a bit, hit a bit of a wall with it and went, I think I'll just duck out now. I've gotten my fix. Mm-hmm. I'll just wait for 4 to come out. And then a demo of 4 dropped during the week. And having the experience of playing 2 and sort of getting to grips with the controls of that, like not being perfect, but sort of getting my head around it, and then playing a brand new version of it, it really did. It felt like what it is. It felt like playing a game from the future where like literally like the next day being like, oh my God, this is all so much smoother, so much better. Like there's so much more to do.
Because the way you're controlling stuff is like you're moving your guy Olimar in the first one at least around, but then you've kind of got this cursor ahead of you that is also moving with your stick, that is where you will like chuck Pikmin.
Okay.
And just it can be a little finicky and a little tough to like see exactly where it is with the angle of the camera, and so you'll be throwing Pikmin just past an enemy or whatever
while trying to manage where the rest of the group of the like it's sounds...
and having a constant ticking clock. Like once you get to grips with it, it is really satisfying and it's quite fun. And like I fell a bit behind on like you've got 30 days and there's 30 ship parts, so you want to be getting one a day. And
how do you work that out?
That's my managerial skill coming into play. Everyone needs to come back into the office. Pikmin need to be on the field. There were a couple of days where I fell behind, and like there was a big massacre.
Oh no!
I got really worried, but I went and farmed some Pikmin for a day.
Your first, like, because it's sort of they're all kind of like relatively easy to begin with. Like you just amass so many of them, and I think each game has like a limit of the number of them that you can have on the, so you do hit like a limit. I think you can have like 50 or something, whatever it is. And you just hit that pretty easily when you start playing and you're like, oh, I'm golden here. I'm never going to run out of these things. And then you have your first time where you go into a new area where you just lose nearly all of them. And you need like 10 of the electric ones to be able to like pull down this fence, and you start from scratch having to farm them again. It's devastating when you have your first wipe.
And when you've got a limit of a month, it is petrifying.
Yeah.
Because, like, will I just not recover and I'll waste 5 hours of playing through this? It's about five hours long.
Yeah.
And there's
a
bad ending or a good ending or a perfect ending. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not like it goes, fuck you, but it kind of does. Mm-hmm. So... but I went and farmed some, and then like got three parts in one day, and was just that day. So what a day!
Boys, I efficiency is at an all-time high.
Pizza party for the Pikmin on Friday. It's demanding, that first one, in some ways, and stressful, same way as like Dead Rising was, where having a real-time clock that has a hard limit is. Obviously, it's always on your mind while you're playing it, and that stuff can be kind of stressful. But I think it's actually tipped over the point where I'm like, actually, this is fucking cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it and pushing past the controls and all of that. It looks nice. Like, it's a 20-year-old game and, you know, the resolution is high and whatever, but it looks old. But the design of everything is really cute and fun.
Nintendo-wise, Nintendo style traditionally is evergreen because it is so stylized, right?
Yeah.
It still has that.
Yeah,
for sure.
So the demo of 4, it gives you basically the first, it gives you about 2 hours. So it basically, once you're like moving around little areas and you're getting the treasures and they're being converted into energy. Mm. So once you hit X amount of energy to move on to the next area, that's where the demo ends. So it's pretty robust. Mm-hmm. So
is this a save carryover thing too?
Yes.
Cool.
It looks great. Like that immersion of you're in a basically earth backyard, but everything's massive because your characters are very tiny.
Right, it's real Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like there's a big can of baked beans over there.
Yeah. Grounded style. Remember Grounded?
Yes.
Yeah.
With a bit more horsepower behind it, like that conceit really gets across a lot more. And this new system where you have a little dog in this new one is just a really smart addition because you can have you and all the Pikmin ride around on him, so you don't have that thing of them trailing behind you and them getting lost. So it just streamlines that. He's a lot stronger, so things like knocking down those bridges and walls and stuff, you can have him do them. You can have him like kind of charge at barriers and stuff. So all those like little things that you used to have to assign Pikmin to do, which might take a little while and be a bit frustrating if you didn't have like a big team of them, they just get like way more streamlined and like they're way easier to do by just having this little dog set out to do them. He's like a really smart addition because he just makes some things that were a bit arduous just a bit quicker and a bit cleaner.
Do you know what's funny though is like, as stressed as I was getting by this stuff, when you see that like forward planning that you've done, like, okay, I'll have a couple shit days, but I'll knock down this wall, which will make this path quicker, and then da da da, and like things going wrong and you're like, oh fuck, but the stakes being as high as they are with the time limit, I've come around to it.
So
I almost feel like I'm gonna miss that maybe in the
you still have the day limit though, like you still have the sun starting to come down, so you gotta get them all back, or you were like, oh, I just it's only gonna take me like another minute or so for this bridge to be built, but then you get the little get back to the ship. It's like fuck, all right, I know I'm definitely gonna get it done first thing tomorrow now, so I better get back to the ship.
Getting a spaceship part back there when the big two from the countdown was on the screen. Oh, what a feeling. I'm a Pikmin god.
I imagine as well that just generally speaking, games are built to be a little bit more accessible these days.
Yeah.
And I imagine that while the beginning of Pikmin 4 may be a bit easier because there's your little dog helper, it's going to get more complex as it goes.
More complex.
Right?
And also, surely, this is one that's like, it's grading you on like how much stuff you've done. Because something that was in 2 that I think then wasn't in 3 but is back in this is you have these little underground areas that you go into that are like these sort of self-contained little mazes that'll have treasure hidden in them and some enemies and stuff that are
you're
then getting your stuff. Yeah, little dungeons that you're then getting ranked on. This also has like a new little thing where you'll go into, again, another little dungeon that's sort of like a little competitive challenge thing where you're racing an AI character in this same area to collect as much treasure as you can and get the highest score. So you're competing against and you're getting graded and you're getting a little medal. So there's sort of lots more stuff in this that's sort of pushing you towards that 100% completion. And it'll show you in the area, like, you've found this much of the treasure or you've, like, taken down this many of the bridges or whatever
it is. It is something that they can't do too much of in 1 with the time limit, 2 is, like, it has to be a – however long it is, 5-hour game.
Mm.
And I've enjoyed the couple of little spaceship parts that have had sort of a puzzle to get to them.
Yeah. Right.
And it can't have too much of that because there's not a ton in there. It's quite short,
mm-hmm.
this game. And like, you, if you were wasting a whole day trying to figure out this puzzle, you'd be pissed off at it. Right. So they're quite lightish, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I need to throw them onto this bit and then convert them to, there are little flowers that change their color, and then throw them to this bit and stuff like that. But right. being able to expand that part of it
yeah.
by getting rid of the time limit, and the mm. time limit's done in one. Like, it's cool that
yeah.
this right. is on the Switch now, I guess, even though like it's $40, which we've talked about that stuff heaps, but it's mm. one of those things where like the Metroid thing, they did a bunch to it. This one, I don't know.
And mm. I think with these games, especially too, they're a little, like, the way they iterate them in each one, and they are kind of like a reset in terms of the story. 3 already being on there is like, you, and also when 3 came out, it's sort of the similar thing with 4. When 3 came out, it was like 10 years or so since the last one. So they were doing a bit, you know, they knew that people right. coming to it were probably playing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with this. So it's not like a thing where you need the entire, like with Metroid Prime, it's like an ongoing story. So it makes sense to kind of hopefully have all of them in the one place for people to play through
sure.
and get all of that. With this, you just don't really need that. Like, they got right. a bit better and they sort of streamlined
right.
because you are sort of doing a lot of the same stuff.
Well, that's why I think 1 was the more interesting to me to have a look at mm-hmm. before 4,
because it's the brand new, the
different stuff, and yeah. it was the first mm. one, and they're fleshing it out. But it is also the one that shows its age the most. Mm. So
the thing from 1 that they, I think from 2 onwards, you're not looking for parts to repair your spaceship. You're getting little treasures out in the world that are like real world items, and a lot of like the charm of the games is you'll pick up an orange and you bring it back to your ship, and there's like your ship, just you've come up with a name for it because you don't know what it is. So it'll be like, you know, the orange gets sucked into the ship and then it comes up. This is a citrus orb. Like right, the right. the fun of just
he
like
knows citrus but not an orange.
Yeah, I know. And like the real world things where you like early on in 4, you find a Game Boy Advance just like hidden in the dirt. So you're like carrying it. It's called like Stone of Advancement or something like right. that. Like, yeah, just all those kind of cool like little real world things that you're finding that nice. They, I think they had a lot more fun with in 2 onwards, where right. you weren't just looking for parts of the spaceship. You were what? Collecting treasures.
It sounds like we both kind of agree that like if you're interested and haven't played 1, probably just hang out till 4.
Get the demo of 4. Mm. Like it's, yeah, it's free. It gives you like a good chunk of the game. It's like basically you can do the whole first area. There's like people have found out how to stretch it out to 6 hours if you just hold off on getting that last little.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you hit that enough of the energy to get to the next level, it ends the demo.
Yeah.
But so if you just hold off on getting right. that and like build a few more bridges, you can get into
like real
like the whole
end
thing.
Of financial year. Like, yeah. oh, no, that invoice can wait till July. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's real like back in the day, being a kid, not having much or any disposable income, getting a demo
disc.
Which
I never do, by the way. I've heard of people doing that.
Getting a demo disc.
I've heard of clients doing that.
Getting a demo disc and just like working out how to hammer that as much
yeah,
as you could.
Yeah, it's for real, sure.
Like, yeah. Oh, well, this is free, so I want to squeeze every bit of citrus orb I can out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
nice.
But yeah, not a huge, yeah, not a huge amount of yeah reason to go back. I right. can see myself finishing 4 and then maybe dipping back in on the rest of 2 just to
yeah.
you know scratch more of that itch. But
and I must have played 1 level of Pikmin 1 at some point
mm.
just because I was like, oh, I never actually got into it because it is a different thing to kind of what I thought in a way. Like a
I
lot
can
more
see it, yeah. It does seem like a thing that more people would enjoy than are familiar with it. Because yeah. it's like a, yeah, it's a cool little real-time strategy game with an interesting, weird little conceit. And yeah, it's all like resource management and time management. There must be, I assume this is like a Japanese term, the term Dandori, which is like time management, which
okay.
I think has been a sort of background philosophy like driving all these games
okay.
but then in 4 it is explicitly referenced constantly, like mm. characters are constantly saying to you, you know, you just got to master the skill of Dandori. Like, it's funny that it was just sort of a background, you know,
right.
oh, that's the you know inspiration for these games, and
right.
then just in 4 it's like
yeah.
front and center with
if
characters
in, like,
are talking about it constantly.
In Tears of the Kingdom they've been like, you're like a little boy exploring the woods, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you find a cave there.
Mm.
You've played demos.
Oh, I'm all over demos. Yeah, I'm that little boy playing his PlayStation demo disc from the front of the
mm-hmm.
magazine.
This
mm-hmm.
gives me an idea. I'm going to find a cave.
Yes.
The backwards Miyamoto.
Mm-hmm.
Also
mm-hmm.
my favorite sexual position.
Mm.
Is it like the Steam Demo Fest or something that's on at the moment?
Not anymore. It was during Summer Games Fest. There was the Steam Next Fest.
Okay.
Where they do it every year. They've done it for a few years now, I believe, where they put up like literally 70 demos of indie games in most cases. I don't know. There might have been some like AA games in there as well. But there was a few that sort of got a bit of buzz and I gave a bit of a honk of. One of them we actually already knew about. It was the game Jusant.
Yes.
It was in...
The climbing one.
Yeah.
The Xbox,
I think.
Yeah.
So that's an indie game, but had a bit more of a feature already. You climb up a mountain. That's the game. I loved it. Okay. I loved playing the demo. It's very, very peaceful, very calming sort of game. The design is very... I don't know. I liked it. It's very like visually sort of cute, but very clear what you have to do. There is this sort of passive story unfolding as you climb further and further up and you're like, oh, what's going on down on the ground? What's going on up here? You know, those that came before were trying to get over the mountain. And you know, there's a bit of that stuff going on. But yeah, the way it builds, it's very it's sort of reminiscent of Heavenly Bodies where you are one joystick is and one trigger is, you know, one arm, one hand.
Oh, right,
so you're
reaching
and clutching, reaching and clutching. Further up, you get a little, what are they called? Pinions? Little climbing Pikmin. Equipment. That's right. And so you have like a water Pikmin that you put in the water.
Useless for climbing. Makes it so much harder.
Yeah. You got to drink them to replenish yourself, I guess. Yeah. But no, you can like add little bits in the wall when you can like jump. You can use them as leverage and jump up to a bit of rock.
Yep.
You will get like little places you can attach a little rope to, so you can swing to a different part. So it slowly introduces all of these mechanics to you across the course of this demo, which is, maybe an hour, hour and a half tops. But it's really intelligent. It's very satisfying to figure out how to put all these bits of mechanics together to make your way up this complex sort of rock face, little bits where you stop off and you're walking around and there's like an old camp that was there and you're picking up bits of information. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to play the full game.
That's cool. This type of like climbing thing has always really interested me and I've never had one of those sorts of games hit with me. We're like Grow Home, remember that? And like these sorts of platforming games where you're meant to go up and up. There's like one that's
Donkey Kong King of Swing on the DS.
Wow, okay.
It sounds similar to that where you were using the triggers to like control his hands.
There's one that's like a Twitch meme type of game thing at the moment called like Forever Upwards or something.
Okay.
But it looks fun to me where you are climbing up this enormous distance.
Yes.
But the jumping mechanics also look bad. Like it looks awful to actually control.
Getting over it was that.
Yeah. And that sort of stuff never appeals to me where it's like, but it's like bad, which is fun.
No, it's not that. This
I
is
made
like,
this game to prank you.
Like this has a little bit of a nice story to it that like sounds almost like, what was it, fucking Unpacking, where it's just like a little bit of background.
Yeah, bit of Unpacking, bit of Journey, bit of, just like, as you would when you were like traversing through the world in Horizon or whatever, except you just take away all of the actual story and it's just your environmental storytelling. I like it. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. I heard it was a bit buggy, but I also didn't experience any bugs. I thought it was really fun.
Cool.
What else did I play? There was a game that you put in our group chat yesterday.
Yeah. This just came up as a... It came up as a sponsored ad on Facebook.
Right. I think it was...
Don't let them know that shit works.
Yeah. It was in maybe like the Annapurna showcase or one of the indie showcases because I'd also...
That's actually where I saw it. I just remembered. I didn't respond to a Facebook ad at all. I saw it on the Annapurna showcase.
Yeah, good. it's called Laika something something something.
L-A-I-K-A?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is what, the first dog in space? Is that Laika?
Second dog as far as I'm concerned. After Yuri Gagarin had that dog.
Yes. I mean, so this game visually looks great. has a great style to it.
Post-apocalyptic. You're a little doggy on a motorbike.
Yes.
Going through the wasteland.
I believe you're a... I guess you're a dog, yeah, if you're like a, you look like a fox kind of, or a wolf, but sure. Your initial goal is like, oh, there's some like raiders over there and you've got to go and see if your mate's okay. Mm-hmm. And it is a side-scrolling, yeah, what do they call it? Like a Motorvania or something?
Fuck knows what that means. Is that like Car Castlevania?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Castlevania.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's on a motorbike though, so it's...
Castlevania.
Yeah.
Oh, bitch. Yep. Yeah, so it's actually more like Trials, the motorbike platforming game, in that it's very annoying to control.
Okay.
It looks great. The like acting and the writing and stuff is all very well delivered. You know, the atmosphere is cool, but it's really hard to get my head around. So you're like, you know, it's like left trigger to accelerate, left joystick to lean forwards and back, you know, like your Trials. But then at some point it introduces right trigger to shoot. Right joystick to aim, right trigger to shoot.
Okay.
And there are enemies shooting at you and stuff, but you're also like, you've got to do that while doing this very touchy platforming of like getting up and over things and using leverage and going fast and not ramming your head into the wall because you just die instantly, as with the Trials games. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a lot going on. There's maybe a little bit too much to wrap your head around.
Right.
I wonder if this is the sort of thing, it's always hard to know with games that are having demos where, like, how far along they are, like, whether, like, so obviously in the case of Pikmin 4, the demo exists to get, you know, to get more people to want to purchase the game.
Sure.
But I feel like on PC, it's a lot, it tends to be a lot more, no, we want that feedback. Like, we want to be able to respond to people to saying, because we're at least a year out from actually putting this out. So,
yeah, sure.
But I wonder if this is a thing where they are, putting it out there now as kind of an early build to maybe be able to, scale some of that stuff back or make it a bit more intuitive and seamless.
But I guess, I mean, if you're like a Super Meat Boy, you know, extreme 2D platform head, then the challenge of this probably appeals.
Yeah,
because it's you a could new get control into, scheme.
Yeah,
and,
get into that real flow state of it would be really satisfying and rewarding. If
I mean, you could say the
it.
Same thing of, what was it called?
Roller Drone.
Yeah.
Where it, there's an element at the start where it throws all this at you where you kind of feel like, oh God, I don't, I got to keep my eye on so many different things. Mm-hmm. But then it's exactly that. Once you get into that state where you're like, oh, okay, this trigger, that trigger. Like it's so, it does feel so smooth and so
If you're
rewarding.
Playing it for the first time, if you're a like a virgin, then you're not going to be able to. Don't make that fucking noise at me.
Every time you do one of them, you get a different response from me and Ben. Mm. You've been annoyed by every single one we've ever done. And it's one like of these days, we're gonna give the response where you go, thanks, boys.
Yeah, it's like a little
just a, like a
you know when you get a react thing show up on your phone. It's like that, but with noise.
Getting the thumb. Fuck, I hate getting the thumb.
Oof. Perfect. Oh, don't give me the perfect sign. That means you hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's interesting, and it's a demo. It's worth playing.
Mm-hmm.
I also play probably my favorite alongside Jusant. Was a game, I think we all have already heard about this, the Viewfinder game.
Hearing a lot about this.
It's Viewfinder.
It reminds me of Super Normal. No, Supernatural.
Superliminal.
It's that sort of thing, right, where you're getting photos and you are placing them in the world to create objects or pathways in the world, right?
You're not just getting photos, you're taking photos as well.
Right.
So, there's a probably two-ish hour demo of this available, or at least there was during the Next Fest thing.
I think there may still be on the PlayStation Store, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The conceit is that you are trying to make your way from the starting point to the teleporter, usually, to end the level, and it's basically like floating platforms in a void, the way to get from one to the other is to either pick up a picture that is in the level somewhere already, and then place that, and then realize like, oh, it is a 3D space. It's not just a 2D picture.
So if it's like a picture of a bridge that mm-hmm. is a flat photograph and yep. there's a bridge there, but yep. you place it in your view, like that Maquette game as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Where
very much like
it,
that.
You know, when people hold it up like, this is my granddad in the same spot 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and they hold up a photograph and then it matches with the fence.
Sure.
You do that, then you walk around and, oh my God, granddad's back.
Totally. Or, you know, you're like doing your Leaning Tower of Pisa pose.
Yeah.
But then you like swivel around and you're like, oh, now I can walk up it and it's only as big as a ladder.
I actually pushed it up.
Yeah. Mm. It's that. It's also, yeah, getting given a camera, a magical camera that can take photos, and then you can print them out and put them.
Yeah. A magical camera that can take photos.
This sounds, I'm a little bit disappointed with the trick here.
Let me finish my sentence.
I've not interrupted you.
A magical camera that can print out photos, full stop. And then, yeah, you use them as similarly to the ones that you pick up, except obviously you take them, so it's up to you what you take a photo of to then use as platforming, you know,
sure,
obstacles yep. and traversal sort of points. And then you usually, I think throughout the demo, you get a limited number of photos to take in each level as well. Mm-hmm. And you can just rewind. If you fuck up, you just literally hold right trigger and it rewinds everything you've done.
Emulator style.
Totally. It shows you on a timeline where you've taken the photos. It, I think, also tells you, like, if you've placed one in a bad position, it's like gives you an X. And you can, like, you can get to a point where it's like you can't finish the level.
That's very funny. Right. The game just being like, oof.
Brother,
not how I would have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so, Ed.
Anyone can just pick up a fucking camera, can't they?
Yeah. Jesus. But there's a true artistry to solving the puzzles. It's great. It's really, cool. It uses a lot of lateral thinking. It introduces a bit more complications of like teleporting from one point of a level to another point of a level, and you know, like it gradually sort of increases in complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just like fuck your way to the end as well if you're just like, all yeah, right, I'm can. Just gonna
much like life itself.
I'm stacking up these photos of like weird diagonal bits, you know, like you can just sort of scrabble your way to right. the exit point rather than perfectly yeah, cool. aligning all these bridges.
Tears of the
stuff.
Kingdom style. There's right. like yeah, an yeah. elegant way that they've intended for you to be able to do it, but sure. you can just be like, nah, I don't feel like
I know how to build
here.
The hover bike. I'll see you later.
Yes. So I really enjoyed it. I had a great time with
cool.
it. Yeah, your maquettes, your witnesses, that first person puzzle game, it's right in that wheelhouse.
Sweet. So even though there yeah. have been quite a few of them now of that, like that your perspective changes the world, mm-hmm. I still don't know how the fuck they do it.
Oh
yeah.
They got a magic camera or some shit in there.
Yeah, in their brains.
yeah. I wish I had a camera in my brain, dude. That not being able to visualize stuff shit,
yeah.
it still fucks with me to this day that everyone else is walking around able to just go like, yeah, I'm looking at an apple. Fucking freaks.
Yeah, I'm reading a book and I'm hearing the voice.
I can't even tell a real fucking book from a wallpaper, let alone just think of one.
Man, yeah,
you're
up reading. I was
thinking about this the other night. I'm a slow reader and I assume it's because I'm like in my head.
You're just a slow talker.
I'm hearing it. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Like I'm a
if you're
very
like doing
fast
that, you're
reader.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is a good, I can read quick because there ain't nothing happening.
I haven't updated the iOS in my yeah. brain to have the like 1.5 speed setting podcast
yeah.
app style.
Your brain can get hacked, that means.
Oh, brain hacks. Yeah. I'm living for brain hacks.
I
played another demo.
Oh, yeah.
It was an Australian game called Broken Roads.
Mm-hmm. Broken
it is
Roads.
Broken Roads. Broken Hill, more like
nice.
It.
Nice.
it is a Wasteland style,
mm-hmm.
early Fallout game style,
yep.
isometric RPG.
An Australian game about a wasteland. What is mm-hmm. this about?
Yep.
Dandenong?
Yeah. Oh!
Ha?
Oh!
Ma.
No, it's in the outback.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm trying out my new. What if Mad Max was Australian? What would that
I'm
be
fucking.
Like?
What's an Australian word for mad?
Pissed off.
Yeah. Pissed
Troppo
off.
Max.
Pissed off Pete.
Troppo Max is probably what I was thinking. Yeah.
Broken Roads.
It's okay. I think if you loved like Wasteland 3, what came out a couple of years ago, you know, turn-based combat. Doing your quests, walking around, talking Baldur's Gate style, I guess.
Right.
Except a little bit, yeah, not so much action RPG, more, you know, a leisurely pace. I reckon give it a crack. It's not the kind of game I usually play, so it didn't really hook me. But everything that was in it was done very well. It was very polished. All the characters were well voiced, you know, like it had a lot of personality to it. I recommend giving it a try if you are a Wasteland fan, or even yeah, like an isometric RPG fan in general, like a Divinity Original Sin kind of person. Yeah, it's worth a crack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Another game that's probably worth a crack is one that you and I have been playing and that I think I've been calling Diver Dan without fail every time I've thought of it.
Yeah.
That I think is actually called Dave the Diver.
It's called Dave the Diver.
Okay.
It's not the most, probably a better name would serve it well. Doesn't do the best job of really conveying what it is.
It's a
pretty forgettable title.
I think this again was in some showcase. We saw a trailer for it maybe and it was like, okay, yeah, swimming around. But it's more than that.
Yeah,
like, the actual premise is much more interesting.
Yeah, it's very Cult of the Lamb in that it's taking two sort of disparate genres that generally sort of exist by themselves and marrying them together very elegantly and making kind of both separate genre kind of shine a little bit more because of the things that you're doing in the other element to.
Yeah. Because neither of them are particularly complex what you're doing. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do in terms of like...
What are the two genres?
A diver called Dan, which does make it weird that it's called Dave the Diver.
The genre of... Sea Change, the TV show, and video game.
There's the diving element. You might have imagined that.
Yeah,
was in there. So you're
swimming around, diving,
2D diving around in this ever changing lagoon, called Roguelike Lagoon or something, and you're swimming down and upgrading your equipment and spearfishing fish and picking bits of, what do you call it, flotsam and jetsam and shit and looking for artifacts that are under the water and doing diver shit.
You've got your harpoon and then you can, over the course of the game you get like different types of guns and you can get upgrades to your harpoon. And the deeper you get, the more challenging the fish are to sort of catch and take down. They might... as you get into deeper areas, they might attack you. So you've got to either like dodge them or take them out with the stronger weapons that you've got. You've got limited air supply, which you can upgrade. You've also got a limited amount of weight of things that you can carry back and up to the surface.
It's all that very roguelike-y loop of like, I'm getting a little bit more stuff each time to buy a little bit better equipment to go a little further,
Yep.
And the reason that you're fishing for fish is because you work at a fish shop, a sushi restaurant.
Okay.
At nighttime.
So you have during the day you're on the boat, and I think each day cycle you get to do two expeditions worth.
Morning and afternoon.
Yeah, and you get that really satisfying thing when you're diving of like, okay, I'm about to hit the weight limit. I know I want this fish for the menu in the sushi restaurant. I've gotten him. I've got that. Running low on air, I'll get him and then I'll go back up. And then you find little oxygen tanks kind of down on the ocean floor. And so you're like, well, now I'm completely replenished. Maybe I can go a little bit further.
Okay.
So you're getting as much fish as you can.
Yep.
Then at night, you're clocking on at the sushi restaurant.
Yeah, you're not the chef. They've got a world-renowned sushi chef, but he's a
Bancho.
Bit down on his luck or something.
Yeah,
and he's working at this sort of shitty place now, but he makes good sushi in like fun little animations. And you're being the waiter. So it's people will sit down and go, I want the blue sushi. And then he cooks a blue sushi and you run over and get it and bring it to him.
Doing almost overcooked style of like, it's on a 2D plane, but it's like, okay, that's ready. This person over here needs it. And then they've got their little bar of like, them getting angry that it's taken too long and then they'll storm off. You also have to put the menu together based on which fish you've caught. And so each type of sushi will get you different satisfaction points from customers, might cost more. And you're able to upgrade and do more stuff at the restaurant based on this sort of social media app that you're trying to feed. So it's like, oh, we've gotten this many likes now, we're up to this level. So you can put more complex recipes on the menu. You can Eventually, if you get enough money, you can hire staff to kind of help out at the restaurant, so the cooking will go a bit quicker. People help you with the service.
It's a lot of different little bits and pieces all going on, kind of like sushi, where they're all quite small on their own, but as a whole, it you've always got a couple of things in your mind to do.
Yep.
And every new thing that it introduces to you, there's like all the like writing and character stuff is really fun and well done. I'm finding like each new person that comes along, like there's a guy that will make you new weapons if you find enough sort of scraps, and he's like a... He's this guy who's like obsessed with anime, and he's like every time you get him to craft a new weapon, there's like a very like, yeah, anime style cutscene of him like building his gun, and you're seeing his little
figurines.
Bursts up and
twirls into a Sailor Moon and whatever. Right. And like,
yeah. There's like a...
Sounds hot.
There's basically Ash Ketchum, but he's like, don't call me that.
Yeah, right.
And he's got a Pokemon app, basically, where you collect... Right. Each fish you get gives you that fish card.
Oh,
so
right.
You're gonna fill out all the cards.
There's like a lady who hosts a TV show where she's bringing kind of these influencers into the restaurant. So you'll get like, hey, in 2 days' time, this person's going to come in and eat at the sushi restaurant, and this is the sort of stuff that they love.
Right.
So make sure that you have... like tons of this kind of fish on the menu, so you're kind of like counting down to that and making sure you like catch as much. So you'll have like your main storyline progression stuff that's basically like go and find this in the ocean, and then you'll be able to get this upgrade and move on to this next part of the ocean and this next part of the story. But then there'll also be, oh, this person wants you to look for this, or this thing is upcoming. Yeah. So there's often like three or four things kind of juggling.
Wreck or whatever, where we want you to find this much iron, and they better to. And yeah, none of them are deep. But there's so many of them.
Right.
That it has a momentum to it that is satisfying.
Mm-hmm. It really is, yeah. It is so similar to Cult of the Lamb in that thing of you're going off and doing your thing, you're having a lot of fun doing that, and then you're just in a completely different type of game for 10 minutes, but the little reprieve of, oh, yeah, cool, now I'm just running around serving people my sushi and, wow, that went really well. We made a lot of money, and it's, like, really inspiring to, like, then those next two runs you get, you're like, oh, man. It is very funny that, like, the fish will attack you in the water, and your approach is, I'm going to blow this thing's brains out with my shotgun.
Yeah. Right.
And then I'm going to serve it for dinner in my sushi restaurant.
Oh, God.
The aiming is like the one thing I'm not enjoying with it, where you like hold down A and then you kind of move along like a little
bar
that shows up to the side. And I'm just finding I'm not good at it.
Yeah,
I suppose.
It is, I think it's sort of by design where it limits you to sort of an angle, to sort of a where, you might be in the heat of the moment where you're being attacked by a shark or a fish or whatever, and it's, you know, it's just slightly out of the range, so you can't go like directly up and shoot it. So you need to like swim back a little bit. I think it's sort of meant to be.
I think it's meant to be. I just am not having fun doing
it.
Where,
the same thing,
some of the fish are so little too that you're trying to spear them, but if they're far away enough, you're just like, it looks like you, but you just miss.
Yeah,
It's not a big deal, but that's the only thing where I'm finding myself getting in, like a bit annoyed. But the personality of it and everything, everyone treats Dave like shit. They're all just like kind of forcing him to do all these jobs. He's like, oh, that's not really my job, and they're like, you'll do it.
You've got all your like different little menu things you're going to, or just like apps that you get on your phone. It's like that kind of thing. So your weapons thing is an app. Your like all the personality of it is really well done. The little kind of LucasArts-y style animated cutscenes that play when things are happening and you're meeting characters and stuff are really well done.
Really cartoony, but like very pixely things that work super well. And then you've got like a kind of 3D backdrop under the ocean as well.
Great music.
Yeah.
Cool music when you're exploring around. Really catchy tunes. The only thing I don't like about it, weirdly, there is no V-Sync option, which is maybe the only game I've played on PC that doesn't have that as an option. I'm just getting little bits of screen tear on my monitor when I'm... It just seems weird to not have that on there after...
I've not noticed that because I've got like a G-Sync one.
Right.
So I suppose if you've got that... Yeah, buddy, I know where the G-Sync is. It's up and like sort of up. Like you've got to do a come hither motion.
It's sort of up,
If under your monitor the button is like on the bottom, you do a come hither motion.
Oh,
turn G-Sync on.
The game has updated.
And then the monitor goes, just move over there.
Just taps you on the shoulder.
Yeah.
No, that's, yeah.
Come on, why don't you come up for air?
No, I'm diving. I'm Dave.
The game
smells like
has
a sushi restaurant. Anyway,
it's updated like three times in the week that I've had it, and I keep thinking, here we go. Because I looked it up and I was like, oh, maybe it's hidden in a part of the. But there's like, yeah, all these forum things gone. Like, why? Oh. Why does this game not have it? Like, I'm sure it'll come at some point.
Yeah, it's
just
one of those
like, it looks so great and just like. Just getting that annoying little
PC games these days, like Diablo 4 not having a way to change your resolution from the monitor default just stuff like that where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Yeah. I know you can patch stuff now, but come on, guys.
But yeah, great game. I don't know if these people have done anything before. They're a Korean developer.
Felt like I recognized the name, but I don't know if that's if that actually happened or if I just saw some words and went, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's always got the version number down the bottom right too. That's
funny. You said that's
the
weird. Weird.
Yeah, that's the, again, that with
very, very fussy in some way, but also like, why is that there?
Yeah, well, yeah.
But that plus the not having VSync thing, it does weirdly make it, those two things make it kind of feel like it's still in early access because it was in early access for a long time. But yeah, it's great. I really, really, really recommend it. I would assume it'll come to like Switch and PS and stuff in the future. So I think it'll get a bigger audience then. But yeah, if you got a PC or a Steam Deck or whatever, I really recommend this one. It's a lot of fun.
Two great fishing games in 1 year.
I know.
And neither of them are like big bass fishermen or whatever.
Normally we get 10 great fishing games a year. Where's Big Bass Fisherman?
And meanwhile, I saw someone write a thing about how they found this weird and it kind of made me go, oh yeah, Tears of the Kingdom, no fishing in it. You're constantly around bodies of water. There are fish in the game and there's no option to fish.
You can blow them up or whatever. Yeah.
You can shoot them with your shotgun.
Yeah.
With your Zonite shotgun.
I'm not as hot on this one. It feels like a little bit like this kind of like the two different types of thing and whatever. It's like, oh, it's like roguelite stuff. The numbers are going up. Like I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not finding it very roguelite because that area, the area that you dive in, like it does kind of change, but then there are big things about it that stay consistent. There's like kind of three areas so far in how far I am that are like always there. So the little paths to them might change a little bit.
More just the loop. Like you get the two times to do this and then you get the restaurant and then the two times and then the restaurant and it's like you're kind of building it up slowly, that type of slow build.
Yeah,
I guess it's still good, but like if you could only play one fishing game this year, I'd still probably go Dredge over this.
Okay, interesting. I'll give this a crank.
It's good.
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. I'm enjoying it too.
Apologies. I haven't played anything the past week because I've been sick and I've been coughing heaps on this episode. So sorry if that's been annoying people.
I asked him to do it.
About like four games.
But I played them 2 weeks ago.
True.
The people would never
have known. The people didn't know that.
Yeah, and I did ask Ben to cough directly into the mic, but he hasn't been doing it, I don't think. So sorry about that.
No, I apologize for that as well. My aim, it's like David the Diver. It's off. It's slightly off.
Yep. Well, we better leave it there for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the other stuff we have going on. We have our Patreon. We are in the midst of giant July. Thank you to everyone who tuned in for our gaming session over the weekend. We played some games with some patrons. There's video of that on our Patreon if you want to catch up and rewatch that. We've also got
up on the $10 tiers as well.
That's about two and a half hours, maybe 3 hours.
Three hours, I think,
of gaming, yes.
That's the big content tier. That's the one that we're spruiking for Giant July.
Yep, so you can watch back that session.
We've got a commentary track coming up for the film The Wizard. Mm. We've got a playthrough of an FMV game called Bloodshaw.
Oh, yes.
We've
got
a premium bonus episode coming up. And you also get a bonus episode every week
if you
get on that tier. So, lots of content going on at the moment. Get on there. Support the show. Helps us keep the lights on. And we truly very much appreciate it.
We do.
We really do.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Diver Dave. It truly took me by surprise that time.
Sing something from Seussical.
I've already sung too much Seussical probably.
Okay, so you're gonna leave it at Diver Dave?
Nah, there's a fucking grain in my brain.
that's why I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah. I know, that's why I said
it. Alright, we're out.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.